Tonight, I'd like to invite you back over to the book of Romans, chapter 3 tonight. Chapter 3, verse 31. Romans 3:31 reads this way. It says, "Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you, Lord, for this opportunity that you give to us to come into your house. Lord, where we know that where two or three are gathered together, you are in our midst, and so we thank you for your presence. Lord, we know that this is the institution that you began on the shores of Galilee to honor and glorify you by your power and might. And so, Lord, we ask for your blessing on our lives, on our hearts and minds, that you might guide us to understand, open up and reveal to us, Lord, the truths that you would have us to walk and live in for your honor and glory and our blessing. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "The Law of God is Established Through Faith." The law of God is established through faith. Or simply put, through faith we establish the law. That's what the Bible tells us there. And so three thoughts tonight. Unrighteousness never commends the righteousness of God. Keep that thought in mind. Listen, unrighteousness never commends or exalts the righteousness of God. So this whole idea about people saying, well, it's under grace, it doesn't matter how I live, unrighteousness never commends, never glorifies, never uplifts the righteousness of God. Number two, the whole world is guilty before God. The whole world is guilty before God. Number three, the declaration of God's righteousness. We'll take a look at that. God declares his righteousness, and the wonderful thing is God wants to declare his righteousness through his people. Amen? That, listen, he's left us here to be a witness of what? Failure? Sin? Or the glory of God and the redeeming power and grace of God working in the life of his people. What was it that caught the attention of the Egyptians at the end there? Hey, listen, their God is fighting for them. Amen? All the other nations, their God, the God of the Israelites, opened up the Red Sea. They knew, hey, listen, the God of the Israelites threw down the walls, amen, and gave Joshua the victory. So many different things that the people that were in the world at that time, that God was doing great and mighty things. And by the way, he's always doing great and mighty things. But the world knew it was the God of the people of Israel. And the same thing is true today, because our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. So he still wants to glorify himself through his people. And that's important, because that's what's going to cause us to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Listen, the Apostle Paul was all about telling the people of God what God had given to him, other than the position of being an apostle. The same grace, the same faith was given to all of his people. And so that's what causes the believer, should cause the believer, to get excited and want to learn more about this salvation that God has given to us. Again, you know, when we consider the lives of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry, what would it have been like if they never got any more power than what they had during the Lord's earthly ministry? The world wouldn't have seen. The world wouldn't have been turned upside down. That's why Jesus said, "It is needful for me to go that I might give you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He's going to come when I go. Another one just like unto me that's going to fulfill the work." By the way, listen, didn't the Lord Jesus Christ wait for the Holy Spirit himself before he began his ministry, after he was baptized by John the Baptist? Isn't that the way it worked? And so, listen, the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is all important. Without him, we don't have anything. And so it's important that we understand, or we will miss the power of God. You can be saved. I'm convinced of that. You can be saved and miss the power of God. Listen, the disciples were saved, but they were fumbling, weren't they? They did some good things. And listen, where did that come from? When Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, you're the Son of God. And remember what the Lord said to Peter? "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Amen. right? So all these things that the disciples did that were good was done because of the work of God in their lives. The same thing is true for us. Listen, God is not asking us to offer anything of ourselves to Him. What He's asking for is for what He has given to us that we might give it back to Him in return. Amen? Lord, that we would be the vehicle, the vessel that He would fill that would honor and glorify Him. Listen, we're just flesh and blood. We're just clay pots. But the difference that's made in our lives is what God fills us with for His honor and glory. That's what will make us a vessel unto honor and glory, to the honor and glory of God, if we are filled and being filled and continuing seeking God to walk in the power of His Spirit. Don't lose that, because otherwise we'll go off track. We can be a saved child of God. We won't have the joy. We won't have the peace. We won't understand the love of God that conquers everything, that God wants us to walk in. And again, I want to remind you, God fills our cup to overflowing. Amen. The filling of our cup to the top is for us to enjoy. The overflowing is what He wants the world to see. So here's a question. What is overflowing in our lives? Is it our passion? Is it our heart's desire for the things of God, for the love of God? Or is our cup half filled, or maybe one-fourth of the way filled, or maybe even empty as a child of God, and we don't have the joy of the Lord? We don't have the blessings that God wants to give us that we would be able to share with a lost and dying world. So let me back you up here to verse 1 here, and let's take notice here that unrighteousness never commends or exhorts or exalts the righteousness of God. So verse 1, he says, what advantage hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? So he's saying, he's going back to this covenant that God gave to the Jews. And if you remember, he started the Hebrew nation through Abraham. And then he says, much every way, verse 2, what's the profit? What's the advantage? Much every way, chiefly the highest in the order, because that unto them, the Jews, were committed the oracles, or the words of God. The words of salvation. The words of peace. The words of joy. The words of restoration. The words of eternal life. These things were given unto the Jews to enjoy. So that's important. They've been given the words, the oracles, or the words of God. By the way, that's now been given to us. Now, so follow this. As a nation, the Hebrew people rejected their Messiah, but God's not done with them. But He has handed it over now to the time of the Gentiles, both Jews and Gentiles alike. Isn't that what you'll see that? The first century believers were all Jews. Until finally God spoke to Cornelius, and of course Peter, and propagating the gospel to the Gentiles. And so God has brought in the Gentiles just like He promised in the Old Testament. And if the Jews were more aware, but see, they've been blinded, they would be able to see this fits in perfectly with the Word of God and the plan of God. It's been there the whole time. It's never changed. The problem is we're blinded. That's a problem. Listen, we are blinded. And by the way, even as a saved child of God, sometimes, listen, we're not ready for everything. And so God leads us along and continues. He's about revealing the truths to us as we seek Him and as we walk with Him. We continue to discover more about the salvation He's given to us. But if we think, listen, where is the end of God? Where is the end of the knowledge of God? There is no end, is there? So you know what? Wisdom would tell us that the more I seek the Lord, the more I will understand, and the more I will find, and the more I will learn about the good things of God. Amen. When will I get to the end of those things, all the things that God has for us? Never, never. So when should we give up seeking more things from God? Never, never is the same answer. Never should we ever give up, or we will be the ones that miss out on God's greatest blessing. So we find that the Jews had the advantage simply because they were given the words of God. By the way, the New Testament church is also blessed because we have been given the word of God as well. So notice verses 3 through 8, we find faith in God is justified by God's work in us. This is so important. We don't want to miss this. And we need to say, God, I want to see Your work in me. When? Yesterday? No, today. How about what, when I got saved? Let me talk about what you did in me. Let me talk about your grace the day I got saved, and I don't want to know any more else. I don't want to learn any more. We're going to be miserable. God has grace for us how often? Every day, all the time, every day. All right, so God, there's no end to the Lord, and so may we understand that God wants to work in us how often?
Every day
he wants to work in our lives, all right? So notice verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Speaking of the Jews, by the way, that were given the oracles of God. Question. Did some of the Jews not believe the word of God? Absolutely they did. So notice. For what if some did not believe? Shall their, the unbelievers, of the Jewish unbelievers, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? No, they're the losers. Amen. Because they chose not to believe. They're the ones that miss out. They're the ones that say, no, you know, I understand all that. But you see, like the Jews in the wilderness, you brought us out here to die. They just saw 10 miracles in Egypt, one right after the other. They just saw the parting of the Red Sea. And now they're saying, you brought us out here to do us in. Listen. They did not have any trust in God's plan and purpose in their life. They stopped seeking. And so Paul is saying here by the Holy Spirit, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? What does he say? Verse 4. God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. You know what he's saying right there? God's word never changes. God's promises are true. How often? All the time, always. They're always true. They're always true. There's only one thing that would keep us back from seeking those truths. Unbelief. Unbelief is the only thing. Unbelief. We don't trust the Lord. That's unbelief. And so, he says, verse 4 again, God forbid, yea, that God, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. You know what he's saying? That you would believe, don't walk in unbelief, and God will prove himself in your life and mine, and we'll be justified and we'll overcome. That's what he's saying. Did you notice that there? We will be justified that thou, the believer, mightest be justified. In other words, the world will be able to see our lives and say, I see Jesus in you. Why were they first called Christians at Antioch? Little Christians, Christ-like, because they saw the witness of Christ in their life. Has God changed? No, he's not changed. And so we need to seek the Lord. Listen, we got to be careful. You can make the hardest, remember my little lesson this morning? You can make the hardest course, the hardest class, the hardest lesson, easy. What do you have to do? Nothing. Just do nothing. You're going to fail, but you're going to do nothing. My father-in-law happened to be my personal and practical evangelism teacher, and he said, if you don't know the answer, if you don't know, we had about 10, 15 preachers there. If you don't know the answer, he said, listen, put in Jesus saves. That's a good answer. One of the students said, well, will you mark it right? No. He said, that's a good answer, but that's not the right answer for that question on your exam or on your test. So we can give answers all day long, but if they're not the right ones, we won't grow in the grace of God. And so we need to seek the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I trust you that you're not finished with me. I trust that you want to do an amazing, awe-inspiring work in my life. You want to make me into the image. You want to transform my life into the image of your Son. God wants to do that. How many of us can do that for ourselves? Not a one of us. Can you see, get this thought in mind? None of us can transform our lives into the likeness of Christ. Is that the truth? Yeah. But there is somebody who can, and he dwells within every believer, and it is his job and his purpose to put his power, as we call on him, that transforms our life into our lives. Amen. So he said, notice verse 5, but if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, but if, he's saying, our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man, he says. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? Do you see what he's saying? If our unrighteousness, if we decide to walk in unrighteousness and excuse that any way that we want to, God says, how is he going to judge the world? Well, you remember where judgment begins? In the house of God. Oh, listen, oh, be careful that the devil doesn't say, don't worry about it. Grace. Oh, just walk. You've been saved by the grace of God. Live the way I want you to live. The devil. You know what the devil does? The devil likes to start a fire in sin in the heart of believers. He likes to go to believers, and here's what he does. He tries to get them to walk, not in the Spirit of God. He can't do that. What does he want the believer to walk in?
Sin.
In sin, in the flesh. So he starts a fire in the life of a believer, and that believer spreads it to another believer, and that believer spreads it to another believer if they're in the flesh. And you know what the devil does? Comes over and warms himself with that fire. He says, oh, I love this. You know why? Because you are mocking your God. And I love that. Oh, I love it. I love it. Listen, oh, I love it when you're putting the church on fire, not for God, but because of the flesh. I love it. And that destroys the work of God. Because the unbeliever is not walking in the Spirit of God, but has chosen the flesh rather than God's way. Remember the two roads? There's a broad way. Where does that lead to? Destruction.
That's right.
Death. There's a narrow way. And by the way, remember how many people are on it? Oh, lots of people are on that road.
Right.
Lots of people. But how about that narrow road? How many people are on it? Not that many. Now you understand? Not that many. You know why? Because we have to die and deny ourselves. Oh, listen, that's a bigger job than you know. That's a bigger job than you know. And what we'll find is as we seek the Lord, we'll start to see that a lot of the things that we thought were the Spirit of God, we're not. We're not the Spirit of God. But when would you like to find that out? Here on this side of eternity, or when you stand face to face before the Lord? So as we continue to seek the Lord and say, God, today I need you or I will mislead myself. Did Peter do that? Oh, Lord, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go to the cross. And by the way, was Peter sincere and thought he was sincerely doing the Lord a favor?
Yes.
But what did God say to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Because you savor the things that be of men and not of God. And so we need to be careful. Listen, if it happened to Peter, could it happen to us? It can. We need to guard against that. And we need to say, Lord, please keep me from our worst enemy. You know who our worst enemy is?
Ourselves.
Ourselves are our worst enemy. Ourselves, the flesh, will destroy us faster than any other thing. And the devil knows that. The devil knows he's not going to get you to fall into some gross, immoral thing. That is highly unlikely for the believer that really loves the Lord. Oh, but he knows the traps of the flesh. He knows the traps of seeking self and bringing destruction and not harmony and not the love of God. And in the heart and mind of an individual, they can misunderstand their righteousness for God's righteousness. Question, did the Pharisees do that? They did, didn't they? The Pharisees thought, hey, listen, he's going to take away our power. Whose power was it in the first place?
God.
It was God's. And then he told them the story about the vineyard. Remember, the ones that worked the vineyard, they said, well, don't just kill the son and it's ours. It was never theirs. It will never work that way. So notice verse 6. He says, God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Did you get that? Listen, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie, that's not the way it works. Through deception, is that the way God wants it to do? Wants it to work out? No, he says, listen, verse 7 again, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported. And by the way, the word slander right there is to speak, to tear down somebody's reputation with malice. To speak evil of somebody, and it's not true, to tear down their reputation. God says that's in fact, the Greek word is blasphemy. Blasphemy. That's the Greek word. You know what that word is? We call it blasphemy. Slander, to be slanderous against somebody, God says that's blasphemy. And so we need to be careful about that. And we're capable of doing that in the flesh. So again, verse 8, and not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, listen, this is what people were saying, that Paul was saying, let us do evil that good may come. Did Paul ever preach that? He never preached that. Again, listen to that. As some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation, Paul said, these people that were saying that about him is just. They're going to get their recompense of their reward, of their labor, of their work, because that's not of God. Would God ever have us to slander anybody, to speak evil, to tear down their reputation? Would God ever have us to speak unkind words in secret? Would God ever have us to do that? No, he would not. But I'll tell you somebody who would. That's right. Satan himself would have us to do that. Oh, he would love it. Please, the devil would say, please go ahead and do that. I like to warm myself by that. It brings me joy to see God's people tearing down other of God's people and even tearing down the lost people. Because if we're speaking unkind, we're not filled with the Spirit of God. God says we're to love one another. Did he not say that? We're to love one another. And how can we say we really love God if we don't love our brothers and sisters in Christ? How can we say that? He says you can't. In fact, the Bible says we're lying. We're lying and we're not doing the right thing. We're not being led by the Spirit of God. So we consider this thought here that unrighteousness never commends, exhorts the righteousness of God. Unrighteousness in the life of the unbeliever, unrighteousness in the life of the believer will never commend the righteousness of God. You cannot do wrong and God smile upon that. We cannot disobey the word of God, and we cannot, listen, walk in our hearts disobedient to the will of God and expect his blessings. We are walking contrary, in contradiction to the word of God. And we will miss out on the blessings that God has in store and had intended for every believer. Okay, second thought. The whole world is guilty before God concerning sin. So he says, verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? Are we better than the believer, the unbeliever, or the people that want to walk in their own righteousness, or these people that walk contrary to the word of God? He says, no, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Walk carefully, we all have the sin nature. That's what he's saying. We all have and it's stronger than you realize. How strong is it? Well, he says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Everybody's affected. Everybody is affected. There is none that understandeth. Does that mean the believer? Yeah, absolutely. There's none that seeketh after God. Do you know that seeking God is a work of God? You remember when Jesus said, no man comes unto the Son unless the Father draws him. Right. You remember that? God has to be doing, listen, God has to be doing a work in us for us to walk upright. If we are doing the work, mark it down, we're going to walk contrary to the word of God. The human nature of a saved child of God is still contrary to the word of God. That's the truth. We have to be careful about, listen, our flesh will never glorify the Lord. You can look at people and you can say, my goodness, oh, if they became a Christian, wouldn't they do wonderful? No, that's still the flesh. Unless God does the work. Amen. I'm not saying that God can't do it. But I want you to see how God works. All right. The Jewish people, the religious Jewish people were a high intellect. They were. The Pharisees, part of their education, they knew the first five books of the Bible by heart at age five. At age five, they memorized the first five books of the Bible besides understanding everything about it. And the Lord said, listen, unless that means nothing. That means nothing. But you would think that God, you know, in God's plan, you would think, you know what I'm going to do? Paul is so well educated. Paul is so well known. I'm going to put him as the apostle to the Jews. But who did he give to the Jews? Peter, the uneducated fisherman. See, God takes the weak things to glorify himself. And then God used Paul to reach out to the Gentiles. That tells us that God doesn't work the way that we think. Oh, listen, when we're walking in the way that we think, mark it down, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing. Verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Remember what he said in verse 9, what then, are we better than they? He's saying there's none. Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Listen to this. Their throat is an open sepulcher. That means there's death there. What they speak, what they're saying in the flesh, it's death. With their tongues, they have used deceit. And then he's saying, what then? Are we better than they? And he's talking about everybody now. He's saying, be careful, be mindful of what's in us. Again, verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, that's snakes, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith unto them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. See, that's the standard of God. That's the standard of God. You may have seen these little short videos, and I enjoy them. I think Brother Jason alluded to it last Sunday even, maybe. These people will go and they'll talk to people and they'll say, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? And some of them will say, I think I'm going to heaven. Well, why do you think? I'm a good person. That's why I think I'm going to heaven. I'm a good person. And then they'll just go right down the list. Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever said a lie, spoken a lie? Oh, and some of them are real honest. Oh, many times, many times, many times. Have you ever looked upon a woman with lust? Oh, yes, yes, yes. And then so he winds up saying, okay, so you're a lying, cheating, adulterating thief. Before God, how do you think you're going to stand? And then all of a sudden the light bulb comes on and they say, not very well. I'm not going to stand well at all before God. And a lot of them, many of them that you watch, they trust the Lord. Some don't. And I don't know what the ratio is, but it's a wonderful thing to see them when they trust the Lord. Or at least to seriously consider what they heard for the first time. Because before they thought, you know what, I'm going to heaven. I'm a pretty good person. Until the word of God enters in, the law of God enters in, and they say, you know what? I'm a very bad person. I don't stand a chance. I don't stand a chance. How many of us stand a chance without the grace of God working in our... Not a single soul. And that's what the Lord is telling his people in the book of Romans, and that's what the Lord is telling his people here at Northwood Baptist Church tonight. Amen. Wants us to know so that we're not deceived. And so he says, verse 19, for we know... that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. But listen, the mouths won't stop until God reveals it to them and to us. Verse 20, therefore, listen, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin, just like those people find out. You know what the law tells us still today? Without the grace of God, we are guilty and undone. Is that not the truth? We are guilty and undone. Amen. So, the last thought, the declaration of God's righteousness. Look at verse 21. But now, this is a good thing, right? This conjunction is adding these two thoughts together. But now, when? Yesterday? Tomorrow? Now. This is important. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. But now, let's see where this is coming. We'll see where this is leading to. So Paul is saying right now, he's speaking to saved children of God, is he not? He's wanting the child of God to know this. Listen, God is wanting us to walk in his freedom. God is wanting to set us free from what? Sin. Amen. That destroys us, that defeats us, that ruins our witness and our testimony, and that robs us of the peace of God and the joy of God that he wants us to walk in. Amen. But now, verse 21, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or made seen, being witnessed by the law of and the prophets. So, in other words, how is this happening? How is the law being witnessed and the prophets, that's the Old Testament books, how is this being seen now, the righteousness of God without the law? Notice verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that what? That only those that believe that God can give us the victory. That's it. Listen, he's not talking about, remember, he was telling them that their unbelief caused them not to receive the promises of God. And the same thing is true today. We can do that at any time and not walk in the promises of God. We can walk in unbelief and we can say, you know what, God can't deliver me. Get this, God is not powerful enough to deliver me from my sin. That's a mighty small God. Now, I didn't say we don't battle with it. I don't say that we're not defeated by it. But you and I have to believe God can deliver me.
That's right.
Amen. And walk in that. And you may not walk very far, but God will let you walk in it. And then God will let you see it, and you'll praise the Lord. God will make sure, if we are really trusting in Him, He will make sure that we will see His grace, wonder-working grace, powerful in our lives. The length of time is, how would you say, just our own personal experience. We may be able to walk for an hour, 2 hours. I don't know what the length of time is in His grace. But may we seek it and let Him perform the work. And once we see, you know, it's kind of like when you learn to ride a bicycle. What would have happened, unless you started at a later age in life, but if you started as a young kid, 3, 4, 5 years old, a two-wheeler, what's the inevitable thing that's going to happen? That you're going to fall. But what's going to happen if you never get back on the bike? You will never ride the bike. But what happens is you get back up on the bike. And before long, you can't imagine falling. In fact, I don't ride them anymore because I don't want to fall. But here's the thing. As we ride, as we experience the ability, we begin to enjoy it. Do you know, riding a bike will take you a lot further, a lot faster as a young person than walking will. And so we enjoy that. Then as you get older, if you want, you learn how to drive a car. And that sets us free in another way, to be able to go further than we ever could have gone before. You know, I have traveled further in my car than I ever have with these two legs. Isn't that good? You and I will go further in the grace and power of the Spirit than we ever will in our own ability. If we want it. Or we can just do it in our own strength, and it won't ever glorify the Lord. So again, notice verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in other words, we need the righteousness of God, being, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That is a sacrifice. He is our sacrifice. Through faith, that's trusting in Him, in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed, listen, that are passed through the forbearance of God. God is the enabler. God wants that to be a continual growing witness of His grace in our lives that testifies that we are a child of the King.
Amen.
Not just because we say so, but because of the transforming work that God is doing in our lives. Verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, that's yesterday, right? This time? That's tomorrow? That's right now. At this time, right now. So he says, to declare, verse 26, I say, at this time, whose righteousness? His righteousness. That he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Here's the question, are we believing in Jesus? Or are we believing in what we think? That's what the Pharisees did. That's what Peter did. How far did that get him? I won't forsake you, Lord. Oh, yes, you will. I can do it. Though all these are going to forsake, I can do it. You want to join that club? You do it. Go ahead. How far are we going to get? Nowhere. Fast. Not where God wants us to be. Not where the Lord wants us to be. So verse 26, he says, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. So at this time, whose righteousness does God want us to declare? His, not ours. So here's the question. At this time, every day, this is a good question. Every day, at this time, whose righteousness are we declaring? At this time, every day, throughout the day. That's a good question to ask ourselves. Whose righteousness am I declaring? Because if we're declaring the righteousness of God, we are walking and keeping his way. And his ways are not grievous to us because he's written them in our hearts. And because we have such a love for the Lord, the love of God is going to do a work in our hearts and minds. And we're going to say, that's the way I'm going to allow the Lord to lead me in. That's the way I want to walk. Not in my way. Listen, this is the battle, and this is what stifles and grieves the Holy Spirit and keeps revival from taking place in our lives. First, it's unbelief and then an unwillingness to follow the Lord. An unwillingness to believe God that he can do it. And by the way, and here's what the flesh will do, and the devil loves it, we'll find fault with the word of God. Ready? I can't do that. Then God's wrong. Then God has asked us to do something that we would never be able to do. Now the truth is, God has asked us many things to do that in our own strength we will never do, but in his all things can be done. Amen. So, do we really want revival? Are we really willing to take in the lesson that God is teaching us and apply that and walk in that truth? So he says, again, let's look at verse 26. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and a justifier of him, that person, which believeth in Jesus. And then he says this, where is boasting then? Guess where it's at? It's excluded. It's gone. By what law? Of works? Of what I can do? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude, let's just wrap it up, he says. Let's just finish this understanding, this truth, this lesson that God wants us to learn. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Amen. But does that mean that we live a lawless life? I'm not justified by the law. I can live like the devil. Is that what the Bible teaches? No, it does not. No, it does not. He says, verse 29, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Listen. Do we then make void the law through faith? Do we then make the law of God of none effect? Do we disqualify the law because we're under the grace of God? Do we then make void the law through faith? What does he say? God forbid. Listen. Yea, we establish, we uphold the law. We uphold the law. How much of the law? All of. Are we hearing what God is saying to us? Believers establish the law of God. Again, listen, we hear a lot of churches preaching the grace of God, and I'm all for the grace of God. But when you look at them and they look like the world and dress like the world and talk like the world and act like the world, please tell me, where is the grace of God? I don't see it. But wait a minute. How about in our lives? Because that's who's going to stand before the Lord. We are. You are. I am. All by myself. No one's going to stand there with you. You and I will have a one-on-one with how we walk in this world. And by what power? God's or ours? For whose glory? His or ours? Praise God. Yes, for his. So the law of God is established through faith. May we allow God to take his magnifying glass and invite it into our lives. Look at every corner, God, and fix it. Look, because it needs fixing. Look at every corner and make it into your image, God. I don't want to walk according to my mind, do you? I don't want to walk according to my heart. You ever hear people say, well, I know what's in my heart. I do too. The Bible says it's desperately wicked, and who can know it? It's desperately wicked. I don't want to walk confidently in my heart. What is the rule for the life of the believer? Where is the rule? The Word of God. It's the Word of God. Are we excusing the Word of God? Are we professing one thing and really our hearts and minds are somewhere else? Remember what the Lord said to the Old Testament people that were rejecting him, that were supposed to be his people? He says, you worship me with your lips, but where are your hearts? Very far from me. We can do God lip service and our hearts be very far from God. And until we say, God, I desperately need you to work in my life, or I have no hope. I'm not saying you're not saved. That's a whole other story altogether. But are we living lives that uphold and establish the law of God? Isn't that what it said right there? Do we then make void, verse 31, the law through faith? God forbid. What do? Yea, we establish the law. Is the law of God, God's commandments, being established in our lives? That will let us know where our hearts are at. Are they on fire for God, or are we just living for ourselves? We can bury it. We can hide it. It's going to come out when we stand before the Lord. And you know what? It'll be too late then to do anything about it. The opportunity we have is right now, today, that God gives us to make things right with him and not walk in our own righteousness, but by his grace and power of his Spirit. And you know what? I'm convinced of this. Listen, God wants to glorify himself through Northwood Baptist Church. Amen. I'm convinced of that. But the vessel he wants to use is you and I. Amen. He wants to use that. He wants to, and by the way, we're in good company because he said his strength is seen in our weakness. What is our weakness? We have no ability to glorify the Lord. None. I don't have none. I don't have any. Lord, I'm willing to admit to you, I need you, God, or I will walk and deceive myself thinking I'm doing right by you. You believe that's possible? Absolutely it is. We can deceive ourselves. But it's all going to come out in the end. Why not deal with it now and enjoy the love of God that enables us to do the unimaginable that we can't do, and to truly walk in the love and the life and power of God Almighty. Amen. You know what the Lord says? Call unto me. Amen. And I will answer thee. Amen. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. You know who he said that to? Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33:3. He said that to Jeremiah. Would you say Jeremiah knew the Lord? And he told Jeremiah, he said, I'm going to show you great and mighty things, as great as a prophet that you are, that I made you. I still have more to show you. Do you know God still has more to show us? And all we have to do is ask him, would you stand? Amen. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne, thanking you, Lord, for your great love to us, Lord, who truly, truth being known, we are unlovable, and yet you love us. That is amazing to me, how much you love us, that you have carved us into your hands. I'm amazed. I don't know what to say, but thank you, God, for your love for us. And all we have to do is call upon you, and you've promised to answer. Lord, may you establish our hearts and minds in you. May you build our faith, our trust in you and not in ourselves. May we be led by your word and not our own hearts that will mislead us. Bless Northwood Baptist Church. Speak to our hearts. Open up our hearts and draw us to you, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.